Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts based around the Olympic movement and presented by me, Ashish Sharma. Well, I recently attended Sport Accord, where one of the most important decisions was the nomination of a new president for the Association of Summer Olympic International Federations, ASOIF. The current president, Francesco Ricciabitti, ends his mandate at the end of this year, and in January 2025, it'll be Ingemar DeVos, who was the only candidate for the presidency, who won unanimously, that will take over. Ingemar, of course, is also the current president of the International Equestrian Federation. Well, I began by asking him what it meant to him to be the president of ASOIF.
Well, I'm very happy with the election, and especially unanimously. So it means that I have a big support from the international sports federations, and it gives me the possibility to have a strong mandate. But of course, I'm very grateful for the leadership of Francesco Ricciabitti over all these years, and my mandate only will start on 1st of January 25, so I have the possibility to still adapt and learn a lot from him. Happy to see also that the Paris Olympic Games for ASOIF will still be under his leadership, so I can concentrate on the equestrian competitions in Paris. But very happy with it. I look forward to represent the interests of the international federations, especially with the IOC, and to work with all of them together. So I'm a very happy man today.
You were very complimentary towards Mr. Bitti when you were confirmed. And of course, you talked about building on the success that he's generated. What can you do? Because it seems it's been so successful in what it's achieved so far. What are the areas that you feel need to be looked at once you take over the mandate?
Well, I mean, first of all, as you say, my first priority will be to build on the legacy of Francesco Ricciabitti and to preserve this legacy, because as you maybe have seen during the General Assembly, there are so many fields in which ASOIF is active and where it is really contributing to the success also of the Olympic movement. So that's really the first priority. But The landscape changes all the time. There are new challenges, not only for international federations, but also for the Olympic Games. So I think it's really important to address these new challenges. I think we have heard some of them already. We need to look at the model for the revenue distribution and the evaluation of the contribution of the international federations to the success of the Games. I think we also have to do some work in the legal framework to see how we can align our position with regard to, for instance, antitrust legislation. I think it would be good to connect a bit more on a permanent basis with all the international federations and exchange of information and communication. So, yeah, I think there will be some new accents that I will put in my presidency, but with the utmost respect for what Francesco Ricciabitti has achieved and done for this organization.
Of course, consistency is a very important aspect of any successful work for the international federations. And one area where I suppose there are always gaps is in issues of anti-doping. I mean, WADA does a very good job, but of course, a lot of it comes down to the effective way that international federations apply this. Mm-hmm. How much concern do you have when it comes to a major event like the Olympics to make sure that the practices, the WADA code, is properly adhered to, and is there a concern that there may be problems in Paris?
Well, I must say for that specific aspect, I'm very happy that the IOC took the initiative some years ago to create the International Testing Agency, because they are basically guaranteeing for our international federations, and especially during the Olympic Games, that the testing program is good, is performing, that it is doing what it is expected to do, and that we do not have to rely on a national anti-doping organization in a specific country. So I think that matter really is addressed by the creation of ITA, and I must say that Ben Cohen and his team do a fantastic job.
And of course, we're building up towards Paris in different circumstances to Tokyo, of course. I mean, there will be crowds there, there will be people there. But geopolitically, it's a very tense world. We've got Israel, Palestine, we've got Russia, Ukraine. There will be Russian athletes, Ukrainian athletes. How do you see that dynamic figuring?
Well, first of all, I would say every Olympic game is different and they have all their specific challenges. And I think it's our role as ASUAF and as international federations to work together and to be flexible and to make them a success, because this is really an obligation that we as an organization, as ASUAF, but also as international federations have towards our main stakeholder, the athlete. I mean, we need to guarantee them great games. Of course, the geopolitical situation in the world is apparently not improving. It's making things more complex, especially when we see that sometimes politicians try to, what I call, hijack sport to promote their political ambitions and ideas.
Sorry to interrupt, but we've seen that with the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has openly said that she doesn't welcome the AINs, the individual neutral athletes. She doesn't want them there.
I mean, this is in contradiction with what other government representatives are saying. So I think our position is very clear. I mean, first of all, let us say that the sanctions against Russia and Belarus, they remain in place. I mean, no international events are accepted on their territory. With regard to the athletes, I think it was a very good decision to review this and not to discriminate athletes because of their nationality or passport. But of course, with respect for the international community, and for that reason, the status of the neutral athlete has been introduced. And I think the most challenging thing is probably how to define these neutrality status. But happy to see that most of the federations, including mine, have now established a clear protocol for that. And also happy to see that now the IOC, specifically for the Paris Olympic Games, has established a panel to review these neutrality status of the athletes that qualify from the for the Olympic Games.
And putting aside all the politics and all the drama, what about the actual sport itself? How excited are you to see the equestrian events taking place? It's going to be iconic in Paris.
Well, I think Paris has a lot of iconic venues for many of our sports, so that's great. Of course, I'm particularly happy to be in Versailles. It's a wonderful backdrop. It reminds me also a little bit the London Games in Greenwich with the Queen's House in the background. But of course, the Castle of Versailles is much more bigger.
The palaces are.
Well, apparently we have a certain connection with royals. You know, I had some predecessors that were royals as well, but no, I must say we are very happy to go to Paris. I think the organization committee is doing a fantastic job. There always will be things that need to be addressed. We are flexible organizations. We want to contribute to this success, and I think it has all the potential to be very successful games. So we look forward to it.
In the build-up to it, you're so close now, almost 100 days away. What is that sense of feeling and the mood that you sense from the athletes, and in terms of, you know, their ambitions, their dreams of winning a medals? But of course, for you as a federation, it's like a four-year cycle that's coming to its climax.
Well, it's even more than a four-year cycle, because we are already busy with LA, we are already busy with Brisbane, so it's a long road. And of course, people get more and more excited, and also the media, to be honest, how closer we reach the event. But what is always fantastic to see is once the opening ceremony is done and the competition starts, then everybody switches the mind and is only looking at the sport. So for the athletes, I think they are all very excited. But still many of them still have to qualify or have still to reach the minimum eligibility requirements.
Is that more of a tension, is the qualification process? Do you find that those events that are the qualifiers actually become more tense because of getting, it's so close to getting to Paris and actually being in the games itself?
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, qualifying and being selected for participation in the Olympic Games is already a big achievement. When we see that many sports have been developing and that the quota have remained unchanged, it's becoming tougher and tougher to get into the game. So getting there already is already a big achievement. Getting a medal is, of course, the ultimate dream. But it's great to see that a lot of people, athletes, but also their entourage, have this ambition to go to the games, that it's still the most important sport event in the world.
And coming back to you becoming elected as the SOF president, you're also the president of the International Equestrian Federation. How is that going to work now?
Well, I mean, first of all, happy to see that my mandate only starts on the 1st of January 2025, which allows me for the time being, and especially during Paris, to concentrate on the equestrian competitions. But I will have a lot of possibilities to visit our colleagues and other sports. My mandate as a FEI president, as you know, I'm in my last mandate, so it ends in November 26. In that period, between 1st of January 25 and November 26, there are no Olympic Games that are for our summer sports. So that will give me a good time to make a transition, and I've been able to combine this thanks to great staff at the FEI headquarters and a great Secretary General to do all these activities, also like WADA, like Sporacor, like ASWAF. So I'm very confident it will work, and as from I would say 27, I'm fully available for ASWAF.
And as a final question, what do you feel are the great skills that you bring now to the role as ASOIF president? Perhaps things that you've picked up and learned and, you know, sort of experience becoming the president of the International Equestrian Federation. You know, what was it that Mr. Beattie had so much confidence in saying, you're the man to take over?
Oh, I should ask him. But I think our IOC president Thomas Bach once said to me that I far out have the most complex sport of all, with of course two athletes and many, many stakeholders and many people in the entourage that we need to manage. So that's maybe one reason. Maybe my nationality, I mean, as a Belgian with a Flemish origin, we need to adapt, we need to be more diplomatic maybe than some other people, have maybe some more language knowledge. So I've in my career always tried to be solution orientated, and I have the pleasure of working already with Francesco for many years, and that cooperation probably has inspired him to support my candidacy.
Those there were the thoughts of Ingmar De Vos. Don't forget, you can catch up with all the latest from the world of sport by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter, produced every day, Monday to Friday. But until the next time, stay safe.